I want you to turn to Revelation 21. That's the text, Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. I want to talk about new things because it's new year. But let me give you a little teaser about what is to come. Next week, we're going to talk about a verse in Isaiah 53 that I think hurts more hearts and damages more Christians than any other false teaching that comes out of the Bible. And that is the false teaching of Isaiah 53, that by his stripes we are healed. So God never intends for anybody to be sick. God never intends for anybody to get cancer or to die. That God wants everybody healthy and wealthy and just hunky-dory. Well, wise, yeah, but there are not many wise people. Someone said common sense is not so common. But we're going to talk about that next week. It's a tremendous false teaching. I get tired of it. I get tired of it being thrown in my face. I get tired of when God doesn't heal people, it's because God's not right or they don't have enough faith or there's something wrong with them. And so we're going to look at it biblically next week. And then the next week we'll have a Gideon speaker because we support the Gideon ministry here in Polk County. Look around Winter Haven at how many hotel rooms they have to put Bibles in. And that comes from donations and comes out of their own pocket. So on the 17th, we'll have a Gideon speaker, and we'll be taking up a love offering for the Gideons after the service. So come prepared to give. I know that in Orange County, in the resort area, there are 78,000 hotel rooms that they try to keep Bibles in, and there's no telling how many we have here in Winter Haven and Lake Wales and along 27, along 17. So be in prayer for him as he comes. These are good guys doing a good thing, and they're always passing out Bibles at Polk State every year on campus. So this week, New Year's. Next week, I get to slap the healers. And I'll just rant about that next week. And then the Gideons the next week, okay? So that's what's coming up. So come or stay away or say amen or say oh me or whatever's appropriate, okay? New Year's. Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. God, at the end of this world, will make all things new. He will make a new heaven and a new earth. Peter says that the very elements, the atoms, will dissolve as God remakes the heavens and the earth with fire, and we will live with God for eternity. And so it's something we all have to look forward to if we belong to God. But New Year's, the way people celebrate it, is a little bit different. Mark Twain said, New Year's Day, now is the accepted time to make your regular annual good resolutions. Next week you can begin to pave the road to hell with them as usual. Definition of New Year's resolutions: a new start on old habits, or in one year and out the other. Or a dog's New Year's resolution: I will not chase the stick until I actually see it leave his hand. Yeah. New Year's in our calendar happens in January. January is named after the Greek god, Roman god, Janus. The name Janus comes from Sanskrit, yana, to move on, to go, to journey, to march on. When you look at a statue of the Roman god Janus, he has two faces. It's like two heads put together. One face looks backward toward the past, and one face looks forward to the future. In fact, the Temple of Janus in Rome had a front door and a back door, and they were always open. The idea being that he is the god of the new start, that things march on. Things are always coming in the front door. Things are always leaving the back door. And that's why they call it January. God restarts, God resets, God forgives, we rededicate our lives, and life goes on. I want to look at resetting biblically, then I want to look at it biographically, people in the Bible, and then I want to look at it behaviorally with us as persons. So those are the 3 points. When I finish number three, you know it's time to go beat the Methodist to Big Tom's Diner, okay? God's restart biblically. The new heaven and the new earth, that is something to look forward to. The Bible says this old world groans. It is under the curse of sin. Adam and Eve brought sin into the world. Not only are people under that curse because we're all born sinners, but the earth groans, is in travail, is having birth pangs, the Bible says, because the earth wants to be free from the curse it's under. The Bible talks about the new birth, John 3:3, you must be born again. There are people that grow up in church and I guess they think you get to be a Christian by osmosis. You kind of absorb it, you kind of grow into it. We do not believe that. You and I believe from the Bible that there comes a point in your life where you personally accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You invite Him to come into your life to forgive your sins and save your soul. We believe in a decisional salvation. You don't absorb it. You don't grow into it. You know, it doesn't just happen. It's a conscious decision you make to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You must be born again. When that happens, the new birth, the Bible says we are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The word there is ketesis. A lot of Bibles say creature, but it's creation. It's the word to create. In the Greek Jewish Bible, that's the word for in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, ketidzo. God is able to make something out of nothing. He made the world out of nothing. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Augustine said one time, if God can make something out of nothing, then God can make something out of me. And that's true. God can make something out of every one of us. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Paul talks about a new start in Philippians chapter 3. Not as though I have already attained, he wasn't perfect, even were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, that if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me. Forgetting those things which are behind, looking forward to those things which are to come, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now Philippians 4:13 is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 3:14 is I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus wrote 7 letters, they're the last letters God wrote to the church. In the book of Revelation, there are 7 letters to 7 churches to the congregation in the city of Ephesus. Revelation 2:5, he talks about how to restart your life. Revelation 2:5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Remember, repent, return to where you should be. And those are 3 great steps anytime there's somewhere where we fall down, anytime there's somewhere where we don't make it, remember where you came from, repent and return and start over again. And God will let you do that. There are a lot of stories about monasteries, the monastic life, denying yourself, taking vows of silence, taking vows of poverty, spending all your time being spiritual. I remember one story where the monks from the monastery up on the mountain came down to the village, and one of the simple Christians very sincerely walks up to one of these holy, spiritual, godly monks and says, "What do you guys do up there all day being spiritual?" And the monk looked at him and said, "We do the same thing you do down here. We fall down and we get up, and we fall down and we get up, and we fall down and we get up. Because that's part of living the Christian life." Now, there were two cannibals, and they're eating lunch. And one of them says, "How'd you cook this?" And he said, "Well, first I boiled it, and then I baked it." And he said, "Well, what is it?" And they said, "Well, they were these two guys in brown robes with shaved heads down at the river in a canoe." And he said, "My gosh, you cooked them wrong. Those were friars." Yeah, biblically, there are many new things. Biographically, there are a lot of new starts in the Bible. Jesus, with his new life, when he rose on Sunday, the first day of the week. By the way, that's the eighth day. God made the world in 6 days. He rested on the seventh. The eighth day is the beginning of the new week. The number eight is always the number of a new beginning, a restart. Noah sent the dove out in Noah chapter 8. The dove came back. He sent the dove out the next time. The dove came back with an olive branch in his beak, so he knew the land was drained of flood water. And on the eighth day, they opened the ark and repopulated the world. The eighth day is the day of new beginning. Abraham was 99 years old. Some of you are getting there, but you're not there yet, okay? Genesis chapter 17, very interesting. When Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, "I am the Almighty God, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly." 99 years old, he wasn't finished, and God wasn't finished with him. And through him we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Moses was 80 years old at the burning bush. Moses spent 40 years in Egypt getting the best education the Egyptians had. Egyptian science, Egyptian battle strategy, which came in handy with the people. Spent 40 years in Egypt. Then he spent 40 years, he ran away, and spent 40 years herding sheep on the backside of the desert, knowing where all the water holes were and the good places were, because he was going to have to lead the children of Israel for 40 years in the same wilderness. God got him ready to lead Israel for 40 years. So lived 120 years, 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the desert, 40 years leading the children of Israel. And he was 80 when God called him at the burning bush. You know, Jack Taylor says, if you have a pulse, God has a plan. If you still have a pulse, God has a plan for you. Billy Graham said, and this is 1952, the Pittsburgh Crusade. Now he became famous in 1948, the Los Angeles Crusade. 1952, he was in Pittsburgh and he said this, "I've always thought my life would be a short one. I don't think my ministry will last long. I think God allowed me to come for a moment and it will be over soon." That was 64 years ago. We just don't know, guys. We don't know how long we've got. We don't know how God wants to use us. He said recently, the New Testament says nothing of the apostles who retired and took it easy, because they did not. So biblically, there are many things that are new and get restarted. get redone. Biographically, Jesus, Abraham, Noah, Moses. Personally, God wants to do it with us. Isaiah 43, beginning with verse 18. Remember not ye the former things, neither consider the things of old. The old things are gone. The old things are over. For good or for bad, they're over. Get over it. Verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. People talk about there's not modern language in the Bible. God's going to do a new thing because God does things. God has a thing, okay? Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen ones. The people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Behold, I do a new thing. That's what God wants to do for each one of us every day, is a new thing. Now, prophetically, that deals with the nation of Israel. Individually, God speaks to every one of us. I have something new for you. I have something more for you to do. If you're here, there's more to do, guys, for God. Stephen Olford talked about the nature of things. He says, it is the failure of man to cope, but it is the nature of God to care. God cares about us. General Douglas MacArthur, in his final illness, he was in the hospital. He'd had two operations in 17 days. And he gave an interview after the second operation. They said, General, how you doing? And he said, I'm doing the best I can. You know, MacArthur always did the best he could. His father won the Medal of Honor in the Civil War, Arthur MacArthur. He graduated from West Point and chased Pancho Villa down in Mexico. In World War I, he led the Rainbow Division, and he led from the front. The guy won 6 Silver Stars in World War I. He was Chief of Staff of the Army, Superintendent of West Point, retired, and President Roosevelt asked him to go be military advisor in the Philippines. After he retired, they made him Allied Commander of the Pacific Theater. He wrote the Japanese Constitution they have today. After he was way beyond retirement, he was Supreme United Nations Commander in Korea. And although Truman fired him, and most Americans disagree with that decision to this day, he said before he died, you know, I admire that little blank. He had the guts to fire me. But what did he live by? Duty, honor, country. And he was a Christian. General Douglas MacArthur. How you doing, General? I'm doing the best I can. There's a poem called, You Gotta Keep A Going. If you strike a thorn or rose, keep a going. If it hails or if it snows, keep a going. Ain't no use to sit and whine when the fish ain't on your line. Bait your hook and keep a trying. Keep a going. If the weather kills your crop, keep a going. Though it's work to reach the top, keep a going. Suppose you're out of every dime. Getting broke ain't no crime. Tell the world you're feeling fine and keep a-going. God is the God of the second chances, and the greatest story I know of that is the Rose Bowl, January 1st, 1929. Georgia Tech played University of California. California center and nose tackle was Roy Riggles. He is known today as Roy Wrongway Riggles. Georgia Tech fumbled. He picked up the fumble, got turned around, and ran 69 yards the wrong way with the fumble. His own man stopped him at the 1 yard line. And when he started running the other way, the Georgia Tech people tackled him. They go in at halftime. The coach talks to the team. The coach says, okay, let's go out and play the second half. And Regal sat there on the bench. He's crying. He says, I can't go back out, coach. I've let you down. I've let the team down. I've let the University of California down. I've let the family down. I can't go back out. And the coach said, Roy, you are going to go back out. The game's only half over. And he went out and played like a wild man. He blocked a punt. The next year, the team voted him as one of their captains, and he became an All-American football player. Roy Regals. Actually, when people would make a major mistake in college football, he'd write them a little note. When Jim Marshall of the Vikings ran a fumble back the wrong way 70 yards, he wrote Jim Marshall a letter and said, know how you feel, buddy. Folks, the world can beat us up. The world can wear us out. We can be worn down. And yet God comes to us in His grace and in His love, and He says to every one of us, get up and get back in the game. The game's not over yet. It's New Year's. It's not over yet. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Only takes one step to restart our lives. Revelation 3:11 says, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast what thou hast, that no man may take your crown. Every so often, we need to restart our lives. God gives us the grace. God gives us the second chance. And if that's what you need today, take advantage of the Lord, because He'll do it. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, you need to do that.